Welcome back to Siren Radio. Today I'm joined with Ever, a four-piece indie band from Clee. How are you all? Are you all good?
Yeah, good.
Nice. Go for your names quick, starting from left to right. Well, my left to right, so left, starting from you.
My name's Isaac.
I'm Mackenzie.
I'm Max.
I'm Connor.
Right, what do you all do in a band? That's probably the best place to start. What's everyone doing?
So, I sing and I play guitar.
I'm lead. I do a bit of singing.
Which is Kenzie, by the way.
I play drums.
Yeah, and I'm bassist.
Nice. So, thank you for coming today. I really do appreciate it. I mean, the name for the band, Ever, how did that come about? Like, whose story?
Well, yeah, no, I don't know how it properly came about because it was ages ago. But I think I was walking down, like, to a friend's house, and it just came to mind. I was like, Ever. But originally, we didn't even have a name.
It was going to be like Infinity for a bit.
Yeah, no. I scribbled down a bunch of names, and it just ended up coming to that, I think.
Loads of them. It's like Maroon 5 was called Kara's Flowers at some point. I feel like you've got to go through a load of names before you get to the right one.
Yeah.
How did it get started? That's probably the best place to really start after name. How does the band come about?
It was me and Kenzie. Because we did a show at school, and then we got to know each other more. Kenzie ended up bringing his guitar into school one day, and he ended up playing in front of a bunch of people. Now it's a picture at school.
So that's definitely... that's everywhere. It's so embarrassing. I look like 10, and it was only like 2 years ago as well.
Yeah, but we ended up making writing songs, and we ended up actually making a band, and then we ended up forcing Max to join. And then,
force him, he didn't really want to be.
He didn't get a choice.
Connor, bless you.
Same with Connor, we forced him overseas.
Yeah. I mean, I find that to be a really interesting story. I mean, we've been recording a few tracks today that we'll get on with later on. And you were kind of saying how it all just kind of almost fell into your lap.
Yeah,
this wasn't something that was kind of manifested, it was something that just completely by coincidence. So, Connor, go and tell the story, because you're probably instrumental into that.
Oh, I was out in Lanzarote at the time, and these lot were mucking about with a bit of music, and I came back to see some family, and their bassist left, and that was that.
GCSEs.
Yeah, I ended up stepping in for him, and the rest is history, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a difference of age, and also you're the probably the youngest band that I've ever had. Insanely talented, but still ridiculously young. I mean, Isaac through to the rest of you, so all 15, and Connor, how old are you?
Oh, don't ask. 28.
Yeah. I know. So
we don't want to talk about that.
I mean, does that hinder it? I can't imagine that it does, but
were going to drive me insane when I first joined them, but... We do have a good laugh, to be fair, don't we? We have a blast when we're practicing, and the rest is ace.
Is there a certain amount of kind of experience that's maybe implemented by you onto the rest of them?
Well, I'm amazed by it. No, I think we're all at a pretty good level. I'm really impressed with the standard that they're at.
My guitar playing maybe needs some improvement.
If you say so.
I mean, we'll hear all the tracks later on, so we'll have that.
On my behalf.
Played us a few tracks earlier that we'll get on with later on, but now obviously you guys are just insanely talented. You've all kind of got your places. It's probably a good place to start about kind of, as we're sat in studio now, the setup behind kind of all your stuff, all your equipment. How does that kind of, like, what are you guys kind of rocking with really in terms of guitars and your equipment that you've all got?
I inherited a bunch of stuff off my dad. He used to be in a band called Ideal back in the day when he was young. But that was a long time ago. But I ended up inheriting like a nice little collection of guitars and an amp and cables and everything. I pretty much just like
mooch off your dad.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. And then Kenzie's having to buy all of his gear.
Yeah, I know. I'm not having it because I've got to spend the most amount of money as well. I'm broke as it is.
So it's just one of them things that you guys... I mean, is the route that you was looking for, is it just like kind of looking for a sound? Was there certain kind of a setup that you was looking for with the equipment, or was it just let's just play and see what works?
I guess it was just let's just play and see what works.
Do you always say that that's the best way to do it, though, don't
you? Yeah, because you find your own sound, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking of your own sound, how's your writing process go for you guys?
Well, Mackenzie will come to me with some chords, right? And we'll go. I'll lay on the floor, and we'll just like.
I usually go this.
Hmm.
You are. In, yeah. Like, an udi on the floor.
Yeah. That's. Let's just.
I mean, is it you two then, really, Mackenzie and Isaac, that are doing the writing, really?
Well, originally, yeah, it was me and Mackenzie, but Max and Connor, we're trying to get them more involved with it. Like, Ghost of You, Max wrote pretty much with Connor all of the chorus of it, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then me and Kenzie were like, all right, we need to get this song finished. And me and him went through it.
Well, so a few songs, like Don't Know How to Love, In Change, and 17, you two were working on them before me and Max were in the scene, sort of thing, didn't you?
Yeah.
So they already had a couple of ideas of what to do, and we've just built off of all of that.
Isaac's kind of mimicking to the idea of Max to kind of get his input. So what's kind of your thinking behind it? Are you involved in the whole thing, or are you just kind of putting down drums and seeing what happens?
Write drums to it. Just that over time, you create like a. Create a bit that you think of first, and then over time when you're playing it, you add different parts to it.
I mean, because I always find a few bands that I've spoke to, it's never really the drummer's always kind of like not the inspiration behind it, but like the kind of the pinnacle to it. Really, you've got to have a good drummer. There's no great band that's not had a great drummer. So it's kind of you just kind of adding your own thing into it. I know there's a kind of proud moment there between Isaac and Max there. So you just kind of, is there something that you're looking for? You just kind of reading and what these guys have wrote and just kind of implementing what you think works best and trial and error.
Well, ask for the like effect of the song, like what the style of song they're going for, and you build it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll get into the first song. I mean, it's Never Looked Back. So if you guys want to kind of introduce it quick.
All right, so Never Looked Back. Do you want to say what it was about? What it was about, Kenzie? Because I'm pretty sure that Mackenzie wrote this song.
Okay.
I don't have like a proper story behind it. I just heard the chords and the melody in a dream, and I wrote it from that. So that's
just a random dream that's come to you, and you're just like, so what do you go? Do you go to Isaac and you go, I've got this as an idea?
He wrote it way before us.
Yeah.
Oh, what? So this is something that was before the band?
Yeah.
Really? But it's just kind of sat in the songbook for a while.
I wasn't playing much before I met Isaac. But
neither.
It was.
Well, me and Kenzie.
I did write it before him. But yeah. I got that from a dream, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into it right now. This one, Never Looked Back.
Give it a minute. And then.
The writing and kind of the producing of that track, how does that come about? Because it is such a great tune.
Oh, well, from that one, I got it from a dream. So I just
chords and melody.
Basically, I was just asleep dreaming. I woke up and then I played it to myself.
I mean, Paul McCartney famously said, "What was it? Was it Let It Be?" I think when he said about his mum coming to him in a dream. So I mean, if that's the standard of dreams, you know, for songwriting of dreams, then I mean, it's all looking up, isn't it? Really. Yeah. I'll go back just quickly. You wasn't originally from Cleethorpes. You wasn't with. Was it Max and Isaac? You guys was already in school.
Yeah,
together?
we knew each other. We met each other in a trampoline park. We were both forced
of all places.
Yeah, out of all places, it was a trampoline park.
We used to talk to each other. Dead awkward.
Yeah, it was originally.
And then you kind of came in a little bit later, was it, Mackenzie?
Yeah, I came in year five from Nottingham, Sutton Bonington, like small little village, and I ended up coming here.
Yeah.
For a bit in primary, and then secondary school was when I met Isaac.
So was you into music anyway, just naturally, just two people that was just really into kind of writing and kind of guitars and that? Or was you not really?
I wasn't into music at all.
Yeah, he ended up picking up a guitar because he was trying to learn a song for his uncle.
I was trying to impress my uncle.
Yeah, he was.
Wonderwall.
Of course it was. Why would it not be Wonderwall?
Always is, isn't it?
If you used to learn any song on a guitar, it's always Wonderwall, isn't it?
Yeah. Before that, I was into rap and like KSI.
Ugh.
Disgusting.
Ooh. I know, right?
Oh no. Mackenzie.
Don't remind me.
So kind of, you were just like kind of, you guys are just kind of together not writing this track, but kind of practicing on the guitar with the Wonderwall of our tracks. So yeah. Kind of was you then just like, oh, I could maybe get into this, and then obviously that's how friendship blossoms, or is it something that was a little bit more kind of longer?
Well, yeah, I brought it into school one day, and then
yeah,
I was playing on the field.
Playing Wonderwall.
Playing Wonderwall, actually. Yeah, because that's the only thing that I knew, wasn't it? Wonderwall. And then I can't remember how any of it came about, but eventually I just ended up in his house writing songs together.
Well, no, we wrote... We wrote one of the other songs, Don't Know How to Love, in Mackenzie's bar. And we wrote it... I can't remember really what it is about. It's just...
What,
just,
Don't Know How to Love?
It was just from a quote from this guy. I don't remember who. I just know it was from a quote, and then I was like, that's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
And then we just wrote it off that thing. I think it was the opening line. I like a lot of people, but I don't know how to love.
It was.
Yeah. Oh, what? And then just go from there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Max, what was your kind of thing on that then? Was you involved in that, or was you kind of looking at it when it came in and gone, let's put this behind it, and then... it was originally... Connor, you wasn't originally part of it, was you? So what was your kind of thing on that then? Was you kind of... Were these songs already been done, and then it was just a case of you learning it?
Yeah, both.
Or was you and Max adding certain things to it as well?
Yeah, to a degree. It was... We've added our own little spin on bits, haven't we, Max? But, yeah, the songs were already built up and ready. It was... And problem was, they're really catchy. I was singing them all the time before I was even part of the band.
Obviously you and Isaac being...
Yeah, me and Isaac are brothers. Yeah. Mackenzie, I remember when he first started playing guitar, he was around in the back garden, weren't we? And
yeah, we were both admiring Connor.
Yeah.
Playing not Wonderwall.
There's a video of that somewhere.
I mean, you've been in a few bands, haven't you? Or you've been around music for a while. Especially
I've been
being
involved
a little
in
bit
music,
kind of older.
Mainly solo stuff, so... Mm. But I haven't really been in a proper band. I mean, I did it at college and blah blah, but not in a major band, but...
Just kind of... Have you guys got... Was it... Did you have... I think it's right. You had a kind of music practice room anyway, didn't you? Before these...
This was at my other house. I had a little bit of a setup, but nothing major. Just a little keyboard, amp, guitar, and sort of just looping stuff and teaching myself how to play, but...
And then it went from there. I mean, how did you get into drumming? Was you just tapping on a desk one day, Max, and then suddenly was like, oh, maybe I'm pretty good at this?
No,
oh, is that?
I was down at a mate's house and his older brother had a drum kit. Mm. And I kind of tried and he taught me a few bits. And then from there I got lessons and then got here six years later.
The obsession began.
Yeah. Breakdown, Slipknot.
Greg is practicing on drums. I mean, no guitar hero that for practicing.
Unfortunately for me, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, he's kind of playing Guitar Hero, and he's maybe this is all right. Maybe I can do this in real life.
Yeah, good old days of Guitar Hero 3.
What a great track. What a great game, by the way. I was going to say, what a great track, but I'm looking at it on there. What a great game. We'll get into a new track from your style. Overdrive, talk to me about it.
Ooh, Overdrive. I don't think we really wrote this about...
They want the meaning.
They want the meaning. We were just writing. We were just like, what are we going to even write about? So we just went, let's just write about nothing.
I don't remember anything about that.
I don't remember it either.
So there's not really a specific purpose song, really.
Just a jamming session.
Yeah, because I was thinking about this like yesterday. I was thinking like, what am I meant to say? What am I meant to say it's about? And I was like, the meaning is just...
Yeah, because you've been worrying about this for ages.
Yeah, I've been stressing
about
it.
There's a lot of times it was just like, can I see the questions? I was like, no, because then you prepare an answer. And then it's not like...
It's not really.
Yeah, I mean, you've all been freaking out about it. It's like I'm going to ask you about any political issues, but but no, we'll get into it. So Overdrive, not really written about anything in particular.
I can't think of anything because... I don't actually know, because it's just a song that me and Kenzie just decided to write. And it just came to us.
I had the chords already and I just came to you with them and I was like, let's do this.
That is normally our writing format. Kenzie has the chords, he brings it to me, and him write the song.
So is it a lot of it separated then, rather than it being written all as one?
I would say Ghost of You, Mackenzie had the chords, he brought it into the...
Practice room.
Into the practice room.
No, I had it, I made it in the practice room.
Oh yeah,
did you? Oh yeah, you did, didn't you?
In the 17 lead break, I did a false note on the thing and then... And it came from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, since we've all we've all been together as a four piece. We've all sort of been bringing the ideas together, haven't we? All in the practice room and trying to do it all together. But progress is mad, isn't it?
We've been practicing like every day.
Songs on the go that we're writing now, and I mean, come.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into your progress right after this. We'll stick it on right now. This is Overdrive. Yeah. So what I do want to kind of ask you is you've done all these gigs. To be fair, remarkable young age, to be fair. How old are you actually, to be fair? We haven't actually even...
Yeah, well, I'm 15. Kenzie's only just turned 15. He used to be 14. He's the little baby of the band.
I mean, that Isaac, that's how age works. You turned 14 and then you go 15. Yeah. Remarkably, you're going to turn 16 at some point, you know? No.
Yeah, age is scary. And Max is also 15.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, no, he looks like older than Connor, actually.
From 10.
Yeah, and I'm 28. My God.
It's like he's still a young butterfly.
Oh, well, cheers, mate.
He's still a young butterfly. You know? So some of the rock and roll stars that go until the 70s, you've got a long time still to go, Connor. Yeah, so how do you kind of get on with the gigs then? Is there a certain amount of nervousness that you guys have now or had back then and that's just kind of dissipated now?
I've been doing performing since I was really young. So going up on stage now is a lot easier than it would have been if I hadn't been performing since a young age. Because I've been doing it like since I was like 5 or something.
Yeah, you have been performing. And was it that you was always just kind of performing it from the school and that you had
school, I used to do like singing at my primary. I've done shows.
Just a fair few
choirs and everything.
Choirs of all things.
Yeah, I know.
So, Mackenzie, you was just kind of, you just came from kind of practicing. Wonder Max, you're just kind of was just learning. Connor, I mean, what was your first? We've not even asked about that. What was your kind of very first?
I started playing like guitar lessons at school and stuff, and I wasn't really too bothered. And then, I saw my dad, my old man, he was playing, what was it? It was Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow. He was playing that on his Les Paul, and he sort of sold it to me I need to pick it back up and nail that. So, that was it, the inspiration there.
I mean, was you their age then, when you started?
Yeah, I was probably a very similar age when I started.
So what was your first gig, Sam, really? I mean, if the nerves aren't really there anymore and there was a certain amount of nerves before when you guys were first coming up, I mean, what was your first gig? Will probably be your...
First gig? Was it...
We'll go with
Max. Wait, it was Park. Oh, all right.
It's called Park. Park. It's not called Park anymore, but it was
Beast
February.
Bar. Yeah, Beast Bar.
Beast Bar now.
Right, what was it?
So it was this venue called Park... It was good venue. We've had a lot of venues. Well, we've done a lot of gigs now, and now that place has turned into Beast Bar.
We've done a few there as well, haven't we? Yeah.
Good food.
Yes.
Yeah. Good food.
I know.
It's really good food.
What was your first gig then, Connor? What was your first gig with these then?
It was Park again.
Actually, no.
Was it? Oh, was it?
It was Grosvenor.
No, I thought it was Park. We did Park and then Bobbin, didn't we?
You did Bobbin first, day, didn't we? And then we did two gigs.
Yeah, because it wasn't the original setup, was it, between you? Connor just kind of came in out of nowhere to kind of save the day in a way. So, I mean, what was you guys just performing and then you've obviously stepped in and done yours. So, have you got a different first gig to theirs, Dan?
I mean, only a couple of months down the line, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Three or four months after.
I mean, you guys have started in when? February, was it, that you guys first came back as a band? Is it February?
Yeah, about February, yeah. Well, that's when Connor joined. That was when Max joined.
So, I mean, so you've not even really reached a year then?
No.
Yeah. Which is...
Well, all four of us, we haven't reached 6 months yet, have we?
No.
I came in April, I think it was.
Yeah. I mean, what was your... What would be your dream gig then? Like, if you used to... I'll go down the line... Quick, Isaac, what would be your dream gig?
Glastonbury, that'd be awesome.
I was going to say that.
What, headlining Glastonbury?
Well, I would say headlining or supporting a really big band.
Okay, what would be yours, Mackenzie?
Sitting with the Foo Fighters, to be fair.
What, supporting Foo Fighters?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Supporting Foo Fighters at where?
Probably Glastonbury.
Glastonbury, yeah.
I'm surprised no
or,
one's...
Or, It's like a Wembley.
Oh, Wembley Arena would be good. They've done it before, I think, haven't
they?
Yeah,
they did, 2008.
Did you try and get tickets to go see Foo Fighters?
No, I wasn't alive.
No, the new tour. I wasn't alive.
No, I ain't got the money for that.
That's mental to think about. That's a mental prospect to think about, isn't it? Foo Fighters. When they was, did you try and go get tickets to see Foo Fighters?
I did try, but I was trying to convince my parents, but
I haven't really got the... Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going, my dad. That'll be fun.
I did try. It's a nightmare. Between that and Taylor Swift tickets, Connor, obviously.
I know all about that.
So what'll be yours then, Max? What'll be yours?
Just some big like stadium gig with just loads of people.
Any band in particular?
Anyone who's willing to support us.
Probably Slipknot.
I mean, it's on the top, Slipknot. And to be fair, I'm surprised that McKenzie didn't say... I was going to say Nirvana, but, like, you still... If you used to go back, would it have been Nirvana or would it have been Foo Fighters? That's always
up. Yeah, same.
Would it have been Nirvana or would it have been Foo Fighters? The Dave Grohl conundrum.
It would have been Nirvana because Kurt Cobain's sick. I love that guy.
Yeah. Connor, what would be yours?
I think it'd have to be Glastonbury again. Amazing day with that.
I'm surprised no one said Blundell Park, and I'm surprised no one said Madison Square Gardens.
Madison Square would be a good one, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I feel like if I was to have one, Madison Square would be the one for me. I mean, if you used to play all these amazing gigs, would you play in this track? Well, I mean, we'll get it on now, Ghost of You. What's the kind of word around that then? What's the kind of making of that? What does it mean?
Well, most times we don't really have a meaning, but
what do you think it means?
What
ghost?
What Ghost of You? I would think it'd be about a lost relationship and just reminiscent. So I'm assuming it's that. Am I right on that, Mackenzie?
Pretty close.
I reckon I'm pretty close on that. I mean, we'll get it on right now. Ghost of You.
Make your own assumptions.
Right, so talk to me about your kind of influences that you've got, because you've done a few covers as well. When you do these gigs, you do a few covers as well as your original material. So, I mean, we'll start down the line. Isaac, what's your influences?
Probably it'll end up being the same as Kenzie. I'd say Foo Fighters, Nirvana, Green Day.
Pretty much the same shtick between you and Mackenzie.
Yeah, we listen to very similar music.
I mean, a bit of Paramore and Blink in there.
Oh, well, that's more Kenzie's side. I do like Blink, but...
Blink 182?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. No, what's your favourite track? Blink 182.
Oh, is it
Blink 182 or is it Blink 182? Like,
182, I'm pretty sure.
Is it Blink 182? I've always said it's Blink 182.
182, yeah.
I've always said it's 182, to be fair. I don't know why.
I say 182 as well. It rolls off the tongue. Personally.
So are you the same then for influence as well as Mackenzie?
Yeah, for sure.
What are you on drums? I mean, what's your kind of drumming influence, I should probably say? Is it a Dave Grohl? Is it a Matt Helders? Is it, who's the drummer that you're looking up to the most?
It's never really one. You just kind of take, not steal, obviously, because that'd be bad. You take influences from songs that you hear, and if you take influences from drum fills, not take. Yeah, use drum beats.
Mm.
Yeah, that's yeah. You take drums from songs you hear.
So there's no real kind of influence behind it that you're looking at. You're just kind of taking an amalgamation of a load of different people.
Depends on the style of the song.
I mean, here's
because it's writing styles definitely changed in the genre. Kind of, so I'm kind of have to bend on that, don't you? You got to change.
Yeah, but he does want to make it as close to metal as possible.
Is that kind of where your influences come from, then? Yeah. Really, metal kind of
true metalhead.
He listens to way too much.
I mean, I kind of like that though. That you've all got very different styles of music between Nirvana, between Foo Fighters, and then you've got Slipknot.
Yeah, that's what's great. All bring something different to the table.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's yours then? What's your influences? Probably would be the better question.
Well, Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses, Pearl Jam, you know, just
that's what I mean.
Classic,
so you've got a few decades that separate all of you, really, in between.
Yeah.
kind of pointing at Connor there.
Yeah,
in between.
For the age.
Yeah, but it's nice to kind of have that different, so that kind of different perspective from you all. I mean, what are you listening to now? Will probably be the what's a new band that you kind of listen to, or what's the music that you kind of listening to now that's kind of come about that you're like, oh, I really like kind of the sound of that.
I'm not that sure, actually.
Big fan of mine, and it's Royal Blood.
I was going to say I really like Royal Blood.
Mm. Oh yeah,
yeah, they've got some quality.
Royal Blood about. Supporting Muse. I think that's a. I'm surprised you even supported Muse, though. To be fair, it seems like a headline thing to have Royal Blood. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, now, what's your favourite Royal Blood, then? That'd probably be good.
I do like Figure It Out. That's probably one of the favourites.
I always say Figure
or Lights
It Out.
I do love that. That's quality.
I always like I Only Lie When I Love You. I think that's an underrated one. I think
as well, isn't it?
I mean, it's that first one, isn't it? It's that first album, really.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, it is a great album. I mean, we'll get into some new music from you. I mean, this one ran out, 17, without being too specific. what is it about? What's the track about?
Envy.
Who wants to take it? Envy.
Jealousy.
Envy and jealousy.
Envy and jealousy. I mean, see if you can... You make what you can of it. This one, 17, from Ever right now on Time Radio. I mean, you guys, being 15, Connor, I mean, you're not doing it full-time, so do you kind of find it hard to balance, really, between everything? Do you find it hard to balance the gigs and... No. I mean, you guys going back to school as rock and roll stars, in a way. Is there a certain thing that you're like, oh, maybe, you know, kind of level it out in a way?
No.
Is it not? Is it just, like, full on?
It's easy.
Well, at the minute, it's, like, 8 hours a day.
Well, yeah, no, we're doing it. We're doing it all the time.
This whole summer has basically been every day non-stop, really.
I was going to say, yeah, summer couldn't have come at, really, a better time for us, could it?
Yeah,
you
we've been
really
working
got...
on the album.
But yeah, recording our tracks.
Is that what you've been? Is that what the next thing is for you, really? Is an album?
Yeah.
What would you call? Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot here. What would you, if you used to have a thing right now on the spot? What would you call an album? What would you call the album right now?
We have a name for it.
What would be the name for it?
It's going to be called Book of Lies.
Book of Lies. Yeah. I like that though. I like that. I mean, where does that come from then?
Overdrive.
It did come from Overdrive.
What the track?
No, the name, because you know the bit where it goes. The stop and then it says Book of Lies.
Yes.
That's where I think I got it from.
Would that be title track then? Would that be the very first track on the album then?
Overdrive?
Yeah. Would that be the first track? What would be the first one?
I think the order that we're going to do it is, we're going to do it Don't Know How to Love, because that's the first song that we did.
Don't Know How to Love wrote, open, yeah.
And then it just, I don't know what the order, but we were trying to figure out what the order can be.
I mean, we've been quite lucky with the way the chord structures and whatever, they sort of roll off each other, so if you get the pattern right, it all sounds really smooth, how they all sort of interchange into each other.
Yeah, there was, I think I was reading something, it was like Blossoms apparently do that. Whenever Blossoms perform live, they have the last chord goes into the next track, so they don't have the whole applause,
and flip over
then
to
go
the next,
again, this track's there. So I think that's really clever. So is that kind of the thing that he was going for? Was you intended on doing that?
No, it wasn't intentional. Was
no, it
just,
wasn't.
We just sort of figured it out.
We just noticed it.
There you go, Royal Blood. Yeah. So it wasn't really something that you guys were going for. It was just like making a sound and went from there.
Yeah.
The type of thing. So
it was noticing that we was able to do that was quite a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Where'd that come from? The feedback in 17?
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right.
It ended up being the same key as
It Loops.
Don't Know How to Love.
Is there a lot of time that you guys are kind of going back over old tracks and being like, and influencing yourself from yourself, if anything? Or are you guys kind of trying to create something different each time? Really, what would be the method to the madness?
It's not trying to create something different every time, but it does turn out different every time.
Yeah.
I mean, the final track, I'll get it up here, the final track, it recorded. What's the one where you said, is it In Change that you guys was like really kind of was the most mellow one that you guys have had?
We've written?
Yeah. You said, as we was recording it earlier, you said it was the most calm. Was it the calmest?
That was Never Look Back.
Being the calmest one.
We've got like 2-3 songs which are kind of mellow, which we've written. Only one of them's.
Gives you a nice break from the.
The madness.
The madness, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I just want to go to your style quit. I mean, your Instagrams, you guys all have shades on. I mean, was that something that was designed, or was that something like, let's just for a picture? Is that a style behind it, or was it just something that was like as a essentially a hive type of matching outfits, etc.?
I think with us gigging all through summer, it's sort of just stuck, hasn't it?
What we used was really having shades.
Keep the sun out, and it's sort of stuck.
You know what? You got Connor. You got the lucky end of the stick right now because he's always wearing shades.
I was going to say, you've got quite long hair as well, so I felt it kind of keeps it away in a way, doesn't it?
I use it to.
I mean, not getting in your hair type thing,
but
not getting in your way.
Yeah, I guess so.
So that wasn't something that you guys were kind of going for with glasses, Dan. No. It was just kind of something that was like, so will it carry on through the winter then?
I imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
As a style. I mean, to be fair, I didn't get the memo that everyone was going to wear Jordans pretty much. Me and Max did. I mean, everyone's in Nikes, but like me and Max was the only ones that didn't get the memo not to wear Jordans.
Me and Connor, we're normally wearing the same outfit. It's really uncanny.
I mean, yeah, I've actually just noticed that. You've actually got matching shoes on, haven't you?
Yeah.
Was that something that was designed, though?
No, we just end up going to practice, right? And then we've got the same pair of shoes on every time.
We've got two pairs of Jordans, the exact same colour, haven't we? And whenever one or the other's wearing that pair, the other one's got them on
Who's copying who, then, on that?
Well, I think we're both as bad as each other, aren't we?
Yeah, I know. I think I see that Connor's got them on, and I was like, okay, I need to put my...
It's just pure coincidence that we sling them on at the same time.
It is.
I'll be honest, though, I do. I probably prefer Mackenzie's over...
Oh, get in.
And I prefer the ones that Mackenzie's got on.
They're ever
brand black. Recently cleaned.
I know, I'm always like, taking a toothbrush to my shoes. I'm like, my pride and joy is ridiculous.
Oh, you got
it. Oh, absolutely. Oh, it's just a nightmare. I'm like essentially just... walking with my toes just crunched up. My toes are killing me at the end of the day. Yeah, we'll get into another track for you. It's In Change. Talk to me about that, then.
In Change, all right.
Yeah.
So, In Change is about a person who...
Any person in particular?
It's not about any person in particular. It's just about a person changing to fit in with... Just in general, fit in.
Yeah, with standard society.
Yeah.
Was that something that you guys feel like you dealt with personally then, or was it just something that just kind of sprung to mind? I don't know if that's maybe Mackenzie's story and the idea of maybe... but maybe being in the idea of coming to a different place and not really knowing anyone. So
yeah,
was that kind of inspired by that? Or?
Yeah, I guess so. That's where that came from, because I came to you. The name came first for that one, and same with Overdrive as well, actually. That's how we wrote that one.
Yeah.
Overdrive, the name came first, so did In Change, so... I was thinking of album names at the time because Isaac suggested Book of Lies and I wasn't that happy with it. I was like...
Yeah, he was like, no.
What would you go for?
It stuck with me now. I'm happy with it now. I think it's a sick name.
What would you have gone for at the time? I feel like that's an
I thought of the name In Change and In Chains as well. But
okay.
I suggested it and they were like, no. But no, I was like, change. I like the name, so we're using it for a song. And then In Change sprung from that.
I mean, quickly, before we play the track, before we play In Change, I really need to know what all of you would have called the debut album. So, Max, what would you have called it? If you've had them two's the suggestion, so what would you have called it? If I had to put you on the spot right now, someone from, I don't know, who's making music nowadays? If you was to do Virgin Records, I don't know. They come to you right now and they go, what would you want to call your debut album? So what would you go for, Max?
I kind of came up with Book of Lies, kind of, so...
Yeah, you can take the credit for that, can't you?
It was me. All right, fine.
So you two are going Book of Lies. You're going In Chains?
I had blood, sweat and tears as well.
And it wasn't you, Dad. Sit down.
He's in the studio trying to take credit.
Yeah.
Connor, what would you have gone for if I was to put you on the spot?
Oh, it's a hard decision, that. I think Book of Lies is quality. I really like it.
Book of Lies is the one.
Yeah, as soon as you told me that, I was like, oh, nice. Book of Lies.
Yeah, because I don't think there's really an album called Book of Lies or anything revolved around a book.
No, there isn't, actually. Now that you say that.
There's only, is it Pearl Jam? Pearl Jam's got a...
Yeah, which is Vitology, isn't it? That one's like a sort of book cover. We've had a look at that and...
I'm trying to think. I can't really. I think Coldplay had one with Viva La Vida on it. I think.
Yeah, they did. Didn't
something like with Catholicism or something that. I can't remember. Anyway, I'll ask you this about what are your favourite albums and records after this one. In Chains there from Ever.
See, it sticks.
are you guys' best albums? What, I mean, we'll start from you, Isaac. What's your, if I was to put you on the spot, what's your favourite album? Ever.
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 Yeah.
Ever.
I don't
ever.
We can't say that one.
Fucking really lies.
I don't really have one. I don't really like choosing either.
Like, I mean, you were saying before, as you was listening to a track, you don't have really specific song, a specific favourite song, nor a specific favourite album.
Yeah, too many to choose from.
I mean, you say Foo Fighters. What do you think of the new one? The new Foo Fighters one?
I like the new one.
I think it's my favourite Foo Fighters album ever.
I think that there's been...
Why is that something that I feel like I've sparked up a debate there by saying that that's the best Foo Fighters album there? I mean, we'll get into it on what Mackenzie reckons on that. I mean, yeah.
I like it. I think it's a big step up from the stuff they were doing after, like Concrete and Gold and... what's the other
I think what it represents more than what it actually is. I mean, Under You is a great track.
Yeah, that's
Under You is an absolute banger.
Same as
Rescue.
I think it is awesome.
Same as Rescue, to be fair. But I think with what happened with
Taylor Hawkins, bless him.
Yeah, I think it's an album that represents more for what it is behind the scenes than what it is. But it's like
a lot of meaning behind it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's your opinion on Mackenzie?
Well, I think it's a great album, but. If I was to choose, it would be the self-titled one. First one, Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters by Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Foo Fighters. Classic. To be fair, they always say that it's like the best album is always the first album, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if that's just like some... I always think that your best album is your first album.
Colour
of
Shape is a good one, though.
I mean, I can't imagine... I mean, even something... I mean, the Beatles, maybe, is the only exception. As I say, Arctic Monkeys, Oasis, all that. I mean... Everything else, it's always your debut album. It's always the best album. I don't know if you guys agree with that. But yeah, go on, Mackenzie. What would be yours then? The self-titled and...
My favourite album or just Foo Fighters?
Any. Away from Foo Fighters, what would be the maybe second?
Oh, well, I'll go with, like, Riot by Paramore or...
Yeah.
Nevermind.
Oh, of course it'd be Nevermind. Of course it'd be Nevermind. The top literally has Nirvana on it.
But
of course
I can listen to that whole thing with no excuse. I've got it on my wall. I've got it on vinyl. I've got it on CD. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean the cover to it is iconic as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's absolutely iconic. Max, what's yours? I mean, Slipknot written on the top, same as Mackenzie.
Gotta go for Iowa, Slipknot.
Yeah, what is that the one that you're going for? Away from, can we tempt you away from Slipknot? What else is that? Or is it just? I mean, you're talking heavy. I mean, there's got to be more that I can think of with massively heavy tracks. A Linkin Park, maybe. I don't know. Is that heavy? I feel like it isn't.
I bet there is good.
Limp Bizkit.
Oh, Limp Bizkit. Yeah, good. What's the what? I can't think. Is it like I'm gonna butcher this? But what is it? Is it like the strawberry thing, like the chocolate starfish? Like the most weirdest, what is it on like the Limp Bizkit albums that's got like My Way and stuff on it? It's got like the strangest name if you look it up. It's like something like the Strawberry Fairy and the Chocolate Starfish. I'm gonna have to look it up now. I mean, while I'm having a look, Connor, what'd be yours?
Favorite album. Well,
yeah.
Big inspiration of mine when I was younger in my teens was 10 by Pearl Jam. The one with all the hands up.
I love that album. So, I mean, do you take a lot of inspiration really from Pearl Jam then?
I did when I was younger, yeah. I was a big fan of Pearl Jam.
That's it. Listen to this. Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavoured Water by Limp Bizkit, by the way. I know, what a strange name for an album. Don't call the debut on that, by the way, lads.
Yeah, we'll try.
Yeah, don't do that. I knew it was something absolutely mental. So, Pearl Jam is what yours is, Dad.
Really, your Pearl Jam. But again, music taste varies. It goes all over. From heavy to some pop stuff's all right.
Yeah,
if I dare say that.
Yeah, I used to be really into pop when I was younger. Not as much now.
I think you're always into it. You just don't want to admit it. You know, I always think that you have some guilty pleasure. Like I've got a full...
I think 2000s pop was the peak. It was like Justin Bieber.
I would say it's really dropped now. It all sounds the same,
EDM,
in my opinion.
It's all...
Yeah, because the thing that we're classing as pop is more EDM now. Because that's what they're going for.
2020. I mean, me and you, Connor. I mean, me and you can remember all the 2000s music and
the
all
good
that.
Old days. Growing yeah. up with it all.
Yeah, you guys like going back, like what I'm doing with the '90s and like Oasis, because I went about like when Oasis was like massive with Definitely Me.
Yeah,
so
it.
I like go back, and then you guys are all going back. So it's nuts to think about, isn't it, when you go for stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is.
I think everyone has some guilty pleasures. Whether you want to admit it, you always have them. Like. But I know what you're saying though. It does seem to be EDM right now. That's on Capital and your top 40. It's like, Calvin Harris is making a trance album.
Is it?
When you talk about the 2000s, yeah, I saw this the other day.
That's what I like about the music we all make. It's got that raw aspect to it, hasn't it?
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. I mean, I think that's why there's been an influx in like indie. Like I put like quite the indie kind of rock and the idea of like it being away. It never seems to get it into. So that's why you listen to like Radio X and that, or Absolute. It's that's if you listen to that, it's like nuts. But like,
Wait, there's an album.
Oh god,
I forgot. I need to go back on the album thing.
Yeah, god.
I'm gonna go with Pablo Honey, Radio X. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, not the Bends. From Radio X.
The Bends is good, but Pablo Honey, I can go through that with no skips. It's
I think
the Bends has
like
too
song.
Many sad songs on there for me. But like, I think it's amazing. But Pablo Honey is like more like. Punkiness.
I want to disagree and say, okay, Computer, maybe being the best album that's from Radiohead.
I would say there's only a few.
I don't even listen to Radiohead that much, but I think OK Computer is probably the one that springs to mind if you look on like Rolling Stone's top 40. Like best
album. The two I had to choose from, they're all quality.
Like you say, but we'll move on with you guys. What's next for you guys, Dan? Really, what's next in mind? You say about the album. What do you guys kind of have in mind, gig wise? What do you guys kind of have in mind before we get into the final track?
World domination.
World domination. I like that. I like the influence on that. I like the certainty that it's world domination.
Glastonbury.
I mean,
hopefully. Big festivals. I think that'd be awesome. Playing in front of a massive crowd.
I mean,
that'd be awesome.
You're 15. It's nuts to think about. You've literally I mean, the first Arctic Monkeys album was done when they was 18.
Mm.
So you've still got another 3 years on everyone else.
I know.
So it's just nuts to think about. And Connor, you'll be sticking by there the entire time.
Yeah, I will.
Absolutely. What else is there? And in terms of gigs coming up, what you got?
We got
that people should know about.
We got a festival coming up. Not this weekend, next weekend. It's Manby Fest, isn't it? Thank you.
There you go. Colin's just kind of passed him his phone of, is this all the gigs?
The itinerary,
It is the itinerary. I can't remember any of the times. Normally, I just turn up with all the gear.
Just turn up and be a rock star. I put my shades on and I'm a rock star as soon as I step out of the stage.
You got the Vic at some point.
Yeah, we got Manby Fest.
Yeah, the Vic's a good one here in Lincoln. When's the Vic? Is that October?
That is, October.
Yeah, October
on
the...
7th.
The 7th, so yeah, get down and watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, is it the first time that you've played in Lincoln, then?
That will be, yeah.
That will be the first time we play in Lincoln.
Does this count? Does this count?
Well, technically, yeah, this is the first time.
Yeah, actually, point,
yeah.
Actually, yeah. But to an audience, that's not like me... Ryan and your dads and that. loads coming up. What else is there?
We got Trails Jam at Gippo, which is like a what's it called? It's a BMX
like skate park, isn't it?
That's on 16th
that
September.
Mm-hmm.
We got Dobro's, which is a little food place, and then we got like the
Little'un. Is that actually what it's called? The Little'un.
Yeah,
the Little'un pub.
Little UN.
Where can before we get into your final track, where can people catch you on your socials?
So
keep up to that. Instagram.
Instagram, our Instagram is everbandofficial.
Yeah.
If you can't find it, still put everbandofficial _.
Yeah.
And that should be the same throughout like all socials. And I think, is YouTube the same?
YouTube's not the same now, but it will be.
Yeah, it will be ever beneficial.
That felt like a proclamation that was just across YouTube as a whole. YouTube's not the same, but one day it will be. It felt like you was like, YouTube's not the same as it was before, but it will be one day.
Why is there like two unskippable, like, 30 seconds.
I don't even get
time.
Me started. I don't even get me started on YouTube.
20 minutes long.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know, it's even more annoying when you need something doing quick, like how to put up a bookshelf. Or like, can you imagine like being like how to do CPR and like you've got like three unskippable ads?
Yeah, that'd be
disastrous.
Yeah. So catch them all on their socials: Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, WhatsApp, MySpace, whatever it is that you guys have. This final track, "Don't Know How to Love." Talk to me about that one. I think this is my favourite track, by the way.
That's the first one we and Mackenzie wrote together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Again, like I say, the debut tracks are always the best ones. There's no blaming on theirs. Don't Know How to Love. Is there a reason behind it for what it is? Like you say, I was saying in between songs that it seems to be that you guys go off vibes than you do off anything specifically.
Yeah.
Which I find quite... Because usually there's an inspiration behind it and not like kind of... Are you guys just going for a sound rather than lyrics in a way then? Would you maybe put it like that? You guys going for a sound... We're all looking into it. Like that's like a proper thinking question.
It is, to be fair, it is a proper thinking question.
I mean,
is it? I'm not.
It's sort of we sort of just jam about, don't we? Start playing about and see where the wind takes us.
Like we've got this one writer. The music's completely finished. Mm. We've got no melody or lyrics at all.
We tried writing it, but
we've barely had a go yet.
Yeah. Is that some when you guys go back before the summer ends? Is that going to be
hopefully me and Kenzie get in my little practice room and we finish it because then we've got a full album.
Don't Know How to Love, you said that was your favourite one. How come?
What? Don't Know How to Love?
I
don't
know. To you,
see, now we're interviewing you.
I know you've changed it around on me. I don't know. I think I just like it the most. It's the one that kind of, I think if you used to have a title track on an album, it'd be the one that stands out for me.
Yeah.
Mm. But then I feel like it'd also be. I feel like if you used to go, I'm looking at that. Don't Know How to Love, and then I feel like I'd have Overdrive as a B side to it, or even the way around. I bet you can't even, don't even know what a B-side is.
Yeah, we know.
Can you even remember what a B-side was?
Well, me and Kenzie, we've both got record players.
Dear,
proper old school. Right?
Yeah.
I want one. I've been dying to get one for ages. Like a little tiny one.
Loads. Not to brag, but I do love my collection.
I feel like I just want, like, you know, the actual vinyls, just like putting the drawer as a collection type thing rather than playing them. But I don't know. I just think Don't Know How to Love is with, along with probably Overdrive as a B-side.
Yeah, well, Don't Know How to Love is definitely going to be starting the album off.
Is that the one that you guys would go for?
That is going to be the one that starts it off because it's the first one me and Kenzie wrote together.
Yeah, I mean, I'll leave it at that then. Thank you for joining me. I really do appreciate all of you. Thank you for joining me. Don't Know How to Love. Please, can I have Max introduce this? Max has been rather quiet the entire time, so I want Max to introduce this.
Say it loud though.
But before I say it, thank you for coming in. And
yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
No worries. And yeah, for all the socials. And Max, take it away.
Take it away.
Don't Know How to Love. Best song we've ever made. You should listen to it.
There you go. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.